The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Monday, August 22nd, 2022. And tonight we have, again, on the board, we have none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And we have, from way out yonder, Pastor Joe Larson.
I'm here again, like a bad penny. I keep turning up.
Now here's what you do, because the opposition, the hindrances, the devil's in the details, and the devil's in the equipment, the devil's in all kinds of things. We've got nutcases been calling and things, so, I mean, so, Joe, would you offer a prayer, ask God to keep the enemy at bay tonight during this program?
I sure will, and I want everybody to pray with me. There is power in prayer, and the more of us praying, God says it has a greater effect on him. That's what he says, so we take him at his word, don't we?
Yep.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we start another week, the watchman on the wall, we have been experiencing many problems, which, Lord, you knew before we ever had them that we were going to be having them. So we bring them to you that we need you to put a hedge of protection around the program tonight and this week, that we could block out interference and hackers and computer problems and phone problems and radio problems, that the enemy is trying to keep us quiet, silence us, render us not effective. So, Lord, we would just put the entire radio ministry in your hands and ask that you would just cover us, protect, guide, and direct us. And, Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings and the times that you've been with us, seen us through problems, guided us, directed us, comforted us. And we just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. Well, we have a lot to cover, and I want to apologize to all the folks out there for Friday night. For the first 30 minutes of Friday night, the devil got into the equipment there, and it was just some mistakes and things that were made or some problems within the equipment, which ended up sending a local football game all over the country to the stations all over the country, and for you folks out there that were listening, we apologize for that. These things only happen to us. But anyhow, so let's start. Do you remember the title of the message, Joe?
The Unholy Confederacy, the Apostate Church, and the Corrupt Government.
All right, I want you to read verses, chapter 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 1 through, well, actually 1 through 5.
Okay. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles.
All right, so here now, I'm going to go one more verse. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Now, here, I want to, before I even get into this, when he's back in 1967, I remember this very well. Back in 1967, there was a guy named Jürgen Moltmann, and he was a professor of theology at the University of Tübingen. Now, he teamed up with a Marxist philosopher named Ernst Bloch. Moltmann then wrote a book called Theology of Hope. And, you know, I mean, it's to sum it up, what he wrote was, change is not achieved through individual salvation. In other words, what they were talking about, the whole idea of salvation to them was the Lord Jesus Christ returning and transferring the wealth and power from the wealthy to the poor. This was there to the masses. This was their salvation. And what he taught, Joe, was that salvation is not individual. Not individual, salvation.
It was a group thing, and it was earthly.
It was the collectively when you salvation came. Collective. Yeah, so here, again, what the idea was, the purpose of the Lord's return and the purpose of salvation was, again, for the Lord to come and transfer the power and the wealth to the proletariat. And so here, you had five viewpoints of liberation theology, and all of them were bad. And so what they taught, Joe, was to take and combine. Now listen to this. And this took off because this was picked up by many of your world and national council of churches, your apostate, your liberal churches today.
Well,
they taught that by taking and combining, marrying the teachings of Jesus Christ with that of Karl Marx, that if you do that, then you came up with a perfect theology. They taught that Marx,
the teachings of Jesus with the teachings of a Satanist. Yeah, that's, boy, you're going to come up with the perfect theology, right? Mixing oil and water, fire and ice. Yeah, right.
And so what they taught was that in order to come up with a perfect love or a principle of love, to love one another, you had to avoid acknowledgement of sin. He had to acknowledge any acknowledgement of sin or any acknowledgement of salvation through the blood of Christ. You could not acknowledge that in order to come up with a perfect religious teaching. And so, again, need I say that from top to bottom, it was heretical. All of that teaching was heretical. And so, here, I want to go over now. So what he was teaching here, if he that cometh preaches another Jesus. So how do we have, who's preaching another Jesus today out there?
Well, there's kind of a couple that are doing different ways. I'm trying to think offhand.
Well, let me ask you this, okay. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God and God the Son?
Yes.
Okay, so now, do Jehovah Witnesses, do they believe that he is deity, that he is God the Son?
No.
Okay, so what about Seventh-day Adventists?
They have something kind of wacky, and I don't really remember.
Well, there's three different sects. There's three different sects of of Seventh-day Adventists, in one of the conservative sects, they lean towards the deity of Christ. But the other two deny the deity of Christ. They believe that he was a created being and not the creator. In other words,
not the creator himself.
What about Mormonism? Who do they believe? Many of them believe that. And of course, there you go. You've got two or three sects in there now, too.
Right. I was just going to say you've got different types of Mormons.
Well, some believe that Jesus, that Christ and Satan were brothers. Mm-hmm. They were brothers, and there's a big problem with that in there.
It doesn't. Nowhere did I see that in any Bible I ever read.
So he says, for if he cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received. I just recently heard from a woman who believes that that the Holy Spirit is a woman, is a female. That the Holy Spirit is a female, and there's a mindset that there's God the Father, then the Holy Spirit, and through that they brought down Jesus. Right. There's a real problem with that, isn't there?
Yeah, but God calls the Holy Spirit He, very plainly. So if God calls the Holy Spirit male, He, then He must be male.
Right. Now, I think there's some confusion where it comes to when he's talking about knowledge and it's referred to as a her or she. And so there are people that are confusing that with the Holy Spirit, and it's not. What that actually is, let me take you over to...
Well, there were some churches that were calling God female, so that God must be female. So everything is getting out of whack.
Well, yeah, there was. When I was in New York, I believe it was the St. John's Cathedral, where it was a huge place. They had, instead of Christ on the cross, they had Christa, a topless woman on the cross.
Right.
And that was,
mm-hmm.
But let me just read you here. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gate, and she uttereth her words, saying. So some are mistaking this as the Holy Spirit. It's not what it is.
Wisdom is different than the Holy Spirit. Wisdom here, they're giving it a form so that you can see it, you know, clearly, but it's called she wisdom, not the Holy Spirit she.
But,
total,
you know,
difference.
Well, what it is, it's Joe, it's not a separate being. It's the mind of God being revealed by reading the gospel narratives.
Right.
About that's what it is. And so it's the revelation of the mind of God. It's not a she or, you know, she thing. But anyhow,
no, it's just giving an identity that you see that he's talking wisdom as a concept, not as structure.
Right. So here you go, which have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now here is where people make have misunderstand this. If I say, well, normally if I say, you might well bear with them, what would you think that means?
Well, I know what the word bear means. In this case, push back. Bear to some people means put up with. There's a big difference in definition.
Yeah, and some it means to carry. In this one, you're right, it means to push against.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it goes on to say, let me see. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Well, you know, that's an interesting thing there, too, because that word wit, do you know what that word wit there means?
It's a little bit.
Well, it's a little bit, but there it's referred to it not at all, not even a little bit inferior, not in the least bit inferior. So
what he's having to do is, Paul is having to show his bona fides. He's a modest man. He's very humble. But because of all these false teachers and false gospels and everything, he has to stand up and say, look, I'm Paul. I am the real deal. Here's my bona fides. And what he's trying to explain is I am one of the chosen apostles. We are one of the original group. Listen to us. We were received from Jesus, the original gospel, direct from Christ himself.
And so,
in a way, I'm kind of condensing, but that's what he was in a long way trying to do, is make it strong and plain who he is and why they should follow and believe him.
Well, he says, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. So Paul was, you know, saying that, you know, he wasn't trained up in the Greek schools of oratory. Remember,
right?
And the Greeks at that time in Corinth, this was the pastime. This is, you weren't anybody if you were a Greek unless you could go out and stand in a pavilion and wax eloquently. This is right. What they did, you know, in those days. And, you know, instead
and
of what
was more blunt and direct.
Yeah, but yeah, what he was telling them there is I don't have this beautiful long delivery, but what I'm telling you with absolute authority. I'm telling you, right, with the absolute authority. In other words, I'm the real deal here. Okay. So he wasn't stuttering at all, was he?
No, he sure wasn't.
Turnover. Well, let me just see. Let's go over to verses 12. Read me verses 12 through 15.
But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Some years ago, I remember in Cleveland, when the mayor asked, he called the pastors together. He wanted to hear from the pastors and see what they thought about opening the city council meetings in prayer. And so I was asked to come down. I was invited. I went down along with other conservative Baptist preachers and others. But then the apostate church was there. And of course, we all said, yes, let's open in prayer. Let's always call upon the Lord. Let's petition God for his leading and direction. But the apostates said, no, that's offensive to non-Christians to have to go into prayer. So obviously, you know, this is why they call apostates. Well, after the meeting was over, as I was leaving, this liberal Lutheran, apostate Lutheran preacher came up and he said, Brother Sanders, now I know we have disagreements. We don't agree on everything. But we're still the brothers in Jesus. I said, no, we're not. We are not brothers in Jesus. We don't have the same father, and you know that. And your father is the devil because you embrace everything that's sin. You embrace abortion. You embrace sodomy. Whatever God calls sin, you embrace this, okay? And, of course, that he didn't have anything else to say. But I just recently...
Around and left quickly, right?
Just recently, a good example would be, some years ago, I was driving down Menor Avenue, and I got a call and told me I should turn on the radio to, I think it was 1300, I believe it was, but, and I said, why, what's up? He says, Al Sharpton's on there. I said, why would I want to listen to Al Sharpton? He's talking about you, and basically was saying I was a racist, and so... Here now, who's the racist?
Al Sharpton is a race baiter from day one.
From day one. Now, he just recently came out and said that the Bible teaches that God condones abortion. Al Sharpton is an apostate. He is not a saved. He is not. He is. The devil is his father. He just came out and he told a flat out lie. Okay, and in no way, you know, does any it does nothing but condemn in the worst way child killing, does it not?
It sure does. I mean, that was just, that's about as far from the truth as you can get.
And there's a number of them out there that are
through Satan, right?
Yeah. But there's a whole lot of them out there today that are ministers of Satan out there. In fact, the majority, just like it's always been, God keeps the remnant. God keeps the remnant. And even in the days of Elijah, you know, where the Lord had kept, 200 or something, or pastors from Jezebel. I can't remember.
The number 140. There was some, yeah.
Anyhow.
Group of them. He thought he was the only one, and God saved others, quite a few.
Right, and so here, but it's a remnant. It's a remnant, because there's always more of the opposition out there when it comes to the gospel. You know, when it comes to, you know, saved pastors, the vast majority of those that are in the pulpits in this country are not saved. They're not Christians, okay? But anyhow, and you say, well, how do you know that? Well, look, believe me, folks, if the vast majority of the people, even if half were actually saved, we wouldn't have 150 dead babies by abortion. We wouldn't have sodomy. We wouldn't have LGBT being pushed upon the public schools, and transgender and the child mutilation. You wouldn't have all of the whoredom that you have out there and the adultery. If the pastors, if even half were saved, my guess, Joe, I would say an estimate would be maybe 10% of those in the pulpit, maybe 10% are actually saved. Shepherds, and the rest are...
And then we have George Barna that did a huge survey, talked to thousands of pastors, and he came up with 49% of these thousands said that they deny two or more of the five basic tenets of the Christian faith. If you deny any of the tenets of the basic tenets of the Christian faith, you're an apostate. You're
absolutely
not a real preacher. So we've got almost half denied two or more. That's two or three out of five. It really is proof, and that came from their own words. No, I don't believe that. No, I don't believe that.
Yeah. So, well, there you go, because of biblical literacy. Because I remember very clearly back in the early 60s when the German Enlightenment movement, we talked about Moltmann in here, when they started feminizing the pastors. They taught that one of the major teachings, and then they had seminars about this, and you had these guys, the neo-evangelicals, and I'm going to tell you, they made me sick, because they were teaching the pastors need to find out how to get in touch now with their feminine parts. This was the teaching, and it caught on. Just like when Rick Warren came out with his Purpose-Driven Life book, it was filled with heresy, but it caught on and it spread because of biblical literacy. Yeah. If these men had understood the Word of God, they wouldn't have picked up on that, okay? And the same thing with the 501c3. Had they understood the Word of God, really, in the defense of a lot of pastors, they'd listened to their lawyers, the lawyers at the church and the accountants.
They listened to the teachers in the Bible colleges and the seminaries.
And, yeah, no, you were right.
So they were told this is the way it is, and they believed it, because I wouldn't have gone to a 4 years of Bible college to be taught something that wasn't right.
But, and so
you got to remember, the head of a lot of these, in fact, even in the Roman Catholic Church, they had a huge problem with the sodomites, and that was because a lot of the teachers in the seminaries were kind of trying to weed out the actual real men, and those that had homosexual tendencies, they were the ones they were pushing into the priesthood. And we talked about that on the radio years ago. It was just a dearth of the evil, wicked professors in the seminaries that were really trying to destroy the church.
All right, so when we have here today, you folks out there, if you have any understanding at all, in fact, we're going to be doing, Lord's willing, almost afraid to say it, because if I do, who knows what they'll throw against us. But he's scheduled. Trevor Loudon is scheduled to be here with me Wednesday, talking about the enemy from within. But anyhow, here, if you have,
is the enemy within?
He really is. But, you know, for people out there that don't understand, we're talking about apostates. You know, those that embrace sin, those that embrace abortion, those that embrace euthanasia, those that embrace sodomy,
marriage,
yeah. LGBTQ, those that anyone you see promoting, those that promote feminism or transgender, critical race theory, or whoredom.
Anytime you have two lesbian co-pastors of a so-called church, A, it's not a church, and B, they're not pastors, and they are maybe co-something, but it's sure not pastors.
Right. Women, the Bible is very, very clearly tells you women are not to be pastors of the churches. Women are not to be pastors of churches. And so, but the vast majority don't know that. And there's a mindset that, well, now if we... You know, I don't have to go along. I'll go along with the parts of the Bible I agree with, and the ones that God got wrong, I'm just going to ignore. You know, that's the mindset that a lot of these people have out there. And, you know, folks, God didn't get it wrong. You got it wrong.
Wrong, right.
And so here, now, we take a look at the World and National Council of Churches, United Church of the Antichrist, you know. The Episcopal Church, these have apostatized. Do you know what that word to apostatize? It's a medical term. When something apostatized, do you know what that means, Joe?
Festers, or I'm trying to remember. It was
infection. It gets infected. Yeah.
Infection festers. That's right.
So it gets infected with sin, is what it's referring to. The Episcopal Church.
And it festers by growing. The sin grows. Once it's in the organism.
Yeah. And you have a lot of these women in these churches, the Pilgrim, the United Church of Christ, and a lot of the Northern United Methodists, and that. You have lesbians and Lutherans, and a lot of the Lutherans, and some of those that have Baptist in their name. They're really not Baptist, okay, but they've got Baptist in their name. These are apostate. They're not. These are apostate Protestant churches, and they all have a problem with pedophilia. It's rampant within those, but even more so in the Roman Catholic Church, pedophilia is rampant.
The Episcopal Church was having problems with that, too.
Oh, the Episcopal, yeah.
There were so many sodomites in the Episcopal Church, and there was a lot more of that going on than they...
Well, you had as their head here, I don't know if she's still the head of the Episcopal, a couple of years ago, the African branch that they turned away, but it was a lesbian witch.
Mm-hmm. And the African branch turned away because they were maintaining their biblical principles. They would not go along with it.
Nope. Okay. Did we, by any chance, Craig, did we find that clip? No.
You can play the Mark Levine clip.
Okay, let me, I'm going to see here. I think I'm going to try this here. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. You're right. It's.
It might work.
It's playing games. I mean, I'm going to turn it off. And.
I'm sorry. I didn't quite catch.
Oh, my. That was Siri. Okay. That was Siri. Siri was talking to me again. And it was an interesting thing. I asked Siri, tell me about myself, Pastor Ernie Sanders. And she had a lot of good things to say. I was surprised
wow.
Yeah.
Good things to say?
Yeah. Talked about the stuff we did, the pro-life movement, and... a lot of things, so it was good. And
that's good news. I thought for a minute you were going to be joking, like he must have been hacked.
No, okay. Let me see what I can do here. I'm going to go back to where was it? I'm going to try that. Okay, I'm going to try this again. This is the Resistance Chicks. I'm going to start it all over, I think. And these were the two ladies that I was ran into when I spoke down in Cincinnati. And here was the...
Oh, I know you guys, yes. I recognize you by sight, but not necessarily by name, but now I can do both. Yeah, you guys have been on my show.
Yeah. We've been on your show, Brandon.
Yeah.
Do you guys know he's wearing cowboy boots right now? He looks pretty... I saw that behind...
I can't believe it. It started out and then they lost him. Oh, well. There you go. You might as well play. You might as well do the Cash Patel.
All right, I'll do that.
All right, we're going to do Cash Patel. You ready for Cash Patel?
Orders, a lot of orders. Declassifying information before he left office. Do you know anything about this?
As a former deputy director of national intelligence, I know how this system works. The president is the sole and universal arbiter and classification authority in the United States of America. If he says a document is declassified or a set of them, that is it. There is no written material required. That is a fiction being created by the fake news and the radical left. In October of 2020, President Trump put out for the world to see a sweeping declassification order, and he did it via social media. Every single Russiagate doc, every single Hillarygate doc, every one. Those are his words. That is the precedent that the president of the United States is allowed to operate under. And then in December and January, on the way out, I witnessed him declassify whole sets of documents. So it is not incumbent upon President Trump and his lawyers and him as a target of this investigation to show he, in fact, did declassify them. It's up to the government, who has the burden of proof, who are trying to deprive a man of his liberty, to show that no such order was, in fact, given. They know they can't. So what happens? The fake news mafia comes in and says, oh, but there was no protocols followed. And Mark, you know, when they're arguing protocols and procedure, it's because they have lost the factual argument and the truth. And now they are trying to hide behind this magistrate judge who is going to supposedly play this game of redactions. We saw it in Russiagate. And when I was a deputy DNI, we lifted all those redactions from the Russiagate docs. And what do we see, Mark? Corruption. FBI and DOJ corruption and breaking of the law. That's the same game they're going to play here, and the fake news media is going to attempt to applaud them for their farce in terms of transparency, and we cannot allow them to do that. The president declassified documents. The government has failed to show that that did not occur. Procedure and protocol do not apply to the president of the United States when he is declassifying documents.
And let me underscore that point. The Constitution of the United States, the first sentence, Article 2, Section 1, the president is the executive branch. That's why everybody agrees he can declassify and classify as much as he wants, and he can do it right out the door. The Espionage Act, in this sense, simply does not apply to a former president. It does not apply to the president of the United States. It was passed originally in 1917. It was pushed by Woodrow Wilson to use against his enemies, people who opposed World War I. It was never, ever intended to apply to a president. Let me ask you this, Cash Patel. Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Clinton, Bill Clinton, Vice President Gore, Vice President Biden, Vice President Cheney. Do we know if any of them secreted any documents, took any documents with them to their homes, classified or otherwise? Do we know?
I know for a fact that President Obama has classified access at one of his homes, so those such documents exist there, and they should, as for former presidents of the United States, and that law and that rule should apply equally. But the Government Services Administration is responsible for packaging and parceling those documents, and you bring up a great point. They were the ones that moved the documents to Mar-a-Lago, and they were the ones that have now admitted they mistakenly moved boxes. It's not like President Trump. Even if they get past the declassification farce, it's not like President Trump put him in a backpack and moved him down there and said, nothing to see here. I want to illegally distribute these documents. The law should be applied. There not should be a two-tiered system of justice. Clinton, Obama, Bush, Trump, as former presidents, must be treated equally when it comes to classified documentation.
I think it's very interesting that not a single former president or vice president have opened their mouths, because I suspect they have taken documents with them, whether it's in violation, quote-unquote, of one law or another. This entire event was completely unnecessary, and it's just more of an effort to try and trap and drag down Donald Trump. Cash Patel, thank you for your service, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Theo, Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. In Matthew 24, verse 8, our Lord warns of a future time that he calls the beginning of sorrows. The world is on the brink of that time. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." I believe that that passage of Scripture currently describes the deplorable moral condition of both America and Israel today. Please join with us on September 11th for a National Day of Repentance, fasting and praying for revival. Encourage your pastor to preach a sermon on repentance, fasting, and revival on 9/11/22. May God bless America. Alrighty, we're back. And Joe Biden's America, 50% of employers expect job cuts in the next 6 to 12 months. 50% of larger employers expect job cuts in the next 6 to 12 months, according to the recent PwC survey of 722 U.S. executives. PSMCNBC reported 52% of all employees will likely institute a hiring freeze, and 44% will rescind job offers. Many companies have announced layoffs in recent weeks, and others have hinted that cuts may be coming. Luckily, there are steps workers can take to prepare. At the end of the day, you can't control what's happening in the economy, but you can control building a strong professional resilience, according to Monde Woodruff Santos, a career and money coach. Best Buy, Ford Motors, HBO Max, Peloton, Shopley, Walmart. I don't think I want to spend any of my money on any of them. What do you think, Joe?
Wayfair, there's a bunch. I'm looking at a sheet. Household debt surges past $16 trillion in second quarter. Target profits plunge 90% as inflation shoppers pull back. Wall Street forecasts we're going to have a messy, messy year ahead. Wave of layoffs is sweeping the U.S. now. And then just as you read, now, glad you brought that up, because Biden has come out and said, we are and will reduce inflation, you know. And he was talking about how we had this zero inflation this last month. Instead of inflation, he's maintained the same, there was zero increase. There was also zero decrease. But what's going on is we are in recession. Several people, including President Trump's former economic advisors, have been on TV saying, looks like the third quarter is going to be negative. That definitely means we're in recession. And what's happened? Everybody says, well, look, gas prices are going down. The inflation didn't go up. Yeah. You see, when you're in a recession, what happens? Demand goes down because of the inflation. People have less money. They don't travel as much. They don't spend as much. So as demand goes down, then prices go down. There's less gas being used, less demand on things. And here's what's happening. They're going to be able to say, look, the economy is getting better. But what happens is there's a law in economics. You get down, we will go down to what they call the wage inflation rate, which is running about 5 to 6%. And this is really just a fancy way of saying, it's a term that says there's an increase in salaries and wages that's adjusted by the cost of labor. So as the cost of labor went up, so does the, you know, cost, the wage inflation. That's just the cost of labor. Now, what happens, this, everything in a recession, the inflation goes down till it hits that wage inflation rate, and that makes it look like, oh, things are getting better. But then we get stuck. Then what happens, and you just said it, are the businesses start to lay off workers. And the way to get out of this is they keep laying off workers and workers and workers. Then you have a big increase in unemployment. And then this wage inflation starts to climb again because unemployment is so high. And if they don't curb it, you go into what's called depression. So right now they're taking advantage. It looks like things are getting better, but it's not. It's actually getting worse, this pullback, the lowering of gas prices, the, you know, kind of halt in the inflation rate are because things are looking worse. When you have almost half of every corporation in America starting to lay off, not hiring, putting freezes on, things are going to be bleak. And what they're trying to do is have all this hit after the election, Pastor Ernie. They're kind of trying to juggle all this so all the bad stuff happens in 2023 after the election, and it's a little too late for the people to see it. So it's a case of we talk about people, there's a lack of knowledge of the Bible. Well, there's a big lack of knowledge of basic economics. Most people have never even heard of the labor or the wage inflation rate and all the stuff. It's kind of most people just don't want to have to learn it, listen to it. And, well, the Democrats take advantage of the ignorance, and they're using it to make themselves look good temporarily to get elected. In other words, they're using a lie because, as you, the scripture plainly says, there are two kinds of lies, right? There's the lie of commission, and then there's the lie of omission, and they're using both kinds of lies. They're omitting, not talking about things that they don't want you to know, and they're lying about the other things, and they're getting away with it because we have a press that is really running the Democratic Party, if it's not, you know, joined at the hip with it. I'm not sure which is which. You know, the press runs the party or the party runs the press, but they work together, joint. So that's what's going on.
All right, well, to simplify a lot of this, what you have, the Chinese Communist Party, the Chinese government, have come out, and they have admitted, and more than one time, that they own the Bidens. They've admitted that they own the Bidens. Okay, did they mention his name? No. What they have said is that we own the people in the highest places in America, that we own them. Now, the Bidens have received, they say, up to $1 billion, the crime cartel, from the Chinese. Now, here, Biden was sent here by his employers, by the Chinese, to reduce America to third world status. That's what his job was, to reduce us down to third world status. That's what he is in there to do, okay? And not just him, but all of the minions, the communist, the entire Communist Party, the collective. Let me just read you this here. Biden's food security pick has starred in the Chinese Communist Party propaganda films, claiming Communist China's food and agriculture approach should be learned by the whole world. That's right. This fall, the White House is planning to hold a conference about nutrition, health and food security and agriculture. And one of Joe Biden's picks is Earth Theron cousin, a Chinese Communist Party propagandist who says the Chinese model for management, each of these things is praiseworthy and should be replicated around the world. Cousin has appeared in many documentaries produced by the Chinese Communist Party run media outlets, including one that landed that lauded the communist regime's agriculture and food policies as needed to be learned by the whole world. Cousin's quotes of worship towards the regime was constantly placed on the communist the Chinese Communist Party controlled television as an example for the Chinese people to mimic. She's also a former executive director of the United Nations World Food Program, which featured a segment on China Global Television Network, the CGTN show, The Hunger Paradox. And I'm going to tell you, it's just an amazing thing. You know, their answer to starvation or famine is to starve people. So you have you have less people, so there'll be more food for the ones that are still alive.
Exactly. There's a lot of people will die during starvation, and that always happens in the real poorest countries. Whatever happens in the world hurts the poorest the most. And we see with this energy crisis coming, England or the European Union is panicking. Russia shut down the gas pipeline for 3 days, and they created a panic. This is supposed to be one of the coldest winters we've had in years, and we're going to see people dying all over the world. One thing I'll note, when the Earth is warmer, fewer people die. It's when the Earth turns cold that we have a huge amount of extra death in the world from cold, not warming. And we'll see that this winter, because what they're cutting back on gas, they're cutting back on natural gas, they're cutting back on coal, and a lot of these other countries are going to suffer terribly this winter. But you're right, and people will want to die, and there'll be less people they have to feed.
All right, here. This is a positive. Court rules taxpayers can sue IRS for violating constitutional rights on data collection. This is good. I mean, the Internal Revenue Service building stands in Washington, D.C., and on Wednesday, April 6th, 2011, the IRS would have to suspend audits. The Small Business Administration processing of loan applications would be halted. And the national parks would close if the federal government is forcing into a partial shutdown because of the budget impasse in Congress. And so that, remember when that took place, I remember back in 2011. We're here now. The First Circuit Court of Appeals has just issued a ruling, Joe, that the taxpayers would be able to take the IRS to court for violating their rights. Well, they're going after the Amish now, and there's a good reason they're going after the Amish, okay? The court ruled that the U.S. District Court for the District of New Hampshire was wrong to dismiss the court challenge basis on the alleged lack of jurisdiction. Until now, the IRS has prevented federal courts from allowing any significant challenge to the IRS data collection practices. A three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit has unanimously ruled in Harper v. Rettig that taxpayer James Harper can take the Internal Revenue Service to federal court for gathering private financial information about his use of virtual currency from the third-party exchange without a lawful subpoena. See, they're used to just bullying people and getting away with it. The IRS is
one of those 87,000 armed agents, because they could continue to intimidate and bully people. But the trouble is, will the Justice Department back it up? Back up this court?
We don't have a Justice Department.
We don't. That's the point. They haven't been forcing.
But here's the thing.
Anybody to defend the orders, they ignore the Constitution and the courts.
They don't have to. If they take it to the courts, they can bypass the Justice Department. They don't have to go through there. The Justice Department, of course, will fight against them, but it'll go to the courts. We don't have a Justice Department, okay?
Right.
They're the enemy, okay? If you're a Christian, and, Merrick Garland is as corrupt, and I've said it 100 times, I think, that he would be very, very, very hard-pressed to find someone to prosecute as corrupt as himself. This man, he had this hatred against President Donald Trump because he was not qualified. Because of his qualification, he was passed over for Supreme Court justice, and he is out to get even for Trump and all of the Trump supporters. He has vowed to get even with them. And here, let me just go on. IRS has until now successfully prevented federal courts from asserting jurisdiction over a significant constitutional challenge to the agency's unlawful data collection practices. The First Circuit ruled that the U.S. District Court for the District of New Hampshire erred in its March 2021 decision granting IRS motion to dismiss Mr. Harper's Fourth and Fifth Amendment challenges based on the alleged lack of jurisdiction. The District Court did not have the benefit of the Supreme Court May 2021 decision in CIC Services versus LLC versus the IRS, which concluded that the Anti-Injunction Act does not prohibit a suit seeking to set aside an information reporting requirement that is backed by both civil tax penalties and criminal penalties. Mr. Harper's suit would seek to set aside IRS's illegal information gathering is likewise not a suitable, not a suit brought to enjoin a tax assessment or collection. So it's not subject to the AIA's limits on the court. Here's the thing, Joe. If we had some more courts that were legitimate, if we had legitimate courts, I mean actually, you know, legitimate courts that actually went by the Constitution, there would be many, many, many more lawsuits against.
Yeah.
Well, now here, with 87, come on, you know what I know. The purpose of hiring 87,000 armed thugs is to totally eliminate the middle class. Folks, you better listen to us. You know, everything we've told you for the last 50 years has come down. Everything. We've told you. Everything we've told you. We told you, we warned you about the ongoing corruption in the public school system, how it was going to get worse and worse and worse. Right now, in Washington, D.C., they're trying to force anybody that's got a child in their public school has to get the kill shot, has to kill, give the kill shot to that little child. And you
they
folks there...
wear masks all over the country in the major Democrat-controlled cities. There's still the teachers' union wants all those little kids masked and all this other stuff.
If you people that love your children, get them out. We've told you years and years ago to get them out of the public schools. We told you, you know, unless the Republican Party had some backbone, got some metal, got some spine, and would stand up and go on the offensive, what would happen? And we saw the rhinos coming in. And part of this clip that I wanted to play, if I can get it, Joe, it tells you how the study, and they found how, remember how we warned people that the Democrats were going to be running as Republicans. They were going to write in, and the numbers come out. Huge amount of Democrats ran in the primaries, voted in the primaries as Republicans. Okay, yeah. There's.
We told people that's gonna what they were going to do, and they did it, and they got away with it again.
Well, and we're telling people, too, there's going to be, again, unprecedented election fraud. Already, you have Big Tech is saying that they're going to team up to win this election, team up against the people in the country, anyone who's a Christian or a conservative. In fact, I'm looking for that article here.
We told them the Facebook and Twitter were already kicking all the Christians and conservatives off. Anything that didn't fit the narrative, they were being banned from Twitter, from Facebook. And they really started just about 4 months before the election. This is standard operating procedure that happens every election for going way back. You know, they go into that full mode of hide the truth from the people, promote nothing but the narrative, the lies. You know, that's why I warned they're going to say, look, inflation's going down, the economy's getting better. No, it means we're in a stage two of getting ready to go from a mild recession
already,
to a bad one or a depression.
We're up against a hard break, so we're going to be going to a break. And then when we come back, folks, hang on to your wallet. We'll be right back after this for more. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right,
What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.